Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
What is going on, golf fans, and welcome back to another episode of Fairways and Dreams. It is Thursday. That means it is just me, Jeff Hartman, right here on this podcast talking all things golf and all the latest on the game of golf in terms of LIV, PGA Tour. Those that have been listening know I don't spend a lot of time on that stuff. I do it at the very end of the show because really, I don't want to talk about it that much anymore, so it gets put on the back burner, rightfully so. Today, we've got an interesting topic. You know, my own game has been struggling, and it's early. We're talking, it's still March, and I've only played the equivalent of two rounds of golf. I played 18 holes one time and 2 9-hole rounds. And I've struggled off the tee. I've been struggling with a hook. Went to the driving range just the other day with my son. Was really working on trying to eliminate some of that stuff. Man, I talked last week on this Thursday podcast about how golf is a process. You can go back and listen. And I said, boy, I love it. And I do. But man, can it be frustrating. This game can be absolutely infuriating. And so for me, I'm going to continue to work, going to continue to grind, and hopefully to fine-tune my game before the summer rolls around. I know I wanted to say I was going to play in more tournaments, but at least that big two-day tournament that I play in with my brother back home in Wheeling, West Virginia, really want to get my game going for that. Got a lot of work to do. I guess for me, you kind of think to yourself, I hit into the net a bunch and, you know, I go out and I'm going to play well early on. Yeah, not this year, not for me at least. So for those that are out there, I know the Break 80 podcast guys, they're on the Golfer Gang Network. They are out there shooting 70s and under. Yeah, not me, not this year. That is for sure. But hey, also let me get this out of the way. Golfer Gang Network is growing. It is, we're going to get a new home. And when I say a new home, before the Masters, we're going to be launching the website, golfergang.com. And that's going to be a place where a lot of people want to know, like, well, what is this? Like, what is the Golfer Gang Network? It's basically just a network of podcasts that are all about golf. You've got to go to golfergang.com. Not yet. It's not done yet. But golfergang.com, where you can see all those podcasts. So if I reference the Drop Podcast, Golfing in the Garden State, or if I reference the Pitch, Putt, and Puff Podcast, the Upstate New York guys, I already mentioned the Break 80 Podcast, the Bumbling Golfer, all those will be there on that landing page. You'll be able to check that out. So I'm really excited for that. Okay. I'm big with nostalgia in the game of golf. I'm also really big on sayings. I've loved sayings my whole life. I loved quotes. I remember my high school baseball coach was huge with quotes. He would always use quotes from baseball past, you know. Oh my gosh, I could rattle off a ton, but I'm not going to because it's not a baseball podcast. But still, he would always have these quotes and these sayings, and he would say them all the time, and they would get embedded into your brain. Golf is the same way. Golf, everyone knows the age-old saying, you drive for show, but you putt for dough. Meaning, yeah, you might have the long ball off the tee, but if you can't putt and your short game sucks, you're not going to be winning any money. So they're referring to with dough. So I was scrolling through social media, and I saw Golf Digest had this interesting article about how that narrative, that saying that's been said forever, drive for show, putt for dough, might be wrong. Yeah. So is the long game more important than the short game? That's the title of this podcast. Really interesting. So is it true? Is it true that the long game is now more important than short game? Well, let's talk about what Golf Digest said. So Golf Digest quoted Mark Brody, who is a professor at Columbia University, and he spoke at the MIT Sloan Sports Analytics Conference. I love sports, but I don't think that's a conference I'm signing up for, just so we get that out of the way. But anyways, he talked about golf, the analytics behind golf, and he said, this is Mark Brody, by the way, he said it's the long game that matters. The long game is the best separator between the best tour pros and the average pros. The long game explains 2/3 of scoring. That was the end quote. Now, the one thing that was interesting about this is, first and foremost, when I read this quote, the first thing I see is tour pros and average pros. Well, I'm not a pro. Most of the people, if not all of the people listening to my podcast, are not pros either. So he didn't really say whether this saying and his philosophy and his analytics that he is drawing these conclusions for based on his studies, he's not saying whether this also applies to the amateur or to the weekend warrior, everyday hacker, whatever you want to call yourself, whatever you want to dub yourself is fine. He didn't say whether that was the fact or not. So let's keep that in mind. But he went into detail about how just getting closer to the green, even if you're wayward, is more important than hitting fairways, and then also more important than getting on the green and being good around the green. And this kind of reminded me, I remember when Brooks Koepka was really in his prime, still on the PGA Tour, winning a lot of majors, and his theory was, I want to hit the ball as far as I can every single time I'm on the tee, unless it's a par three and clear, that's different. But if it's a par four, par five, he wanted to bomb the hell out of the thing. If it went wayward, who cares? If I'm in the rough, doesn't matter. I would rather be as close to the green as possible. This would then set up success for other areas. So if you're an accurate striker of the ball and you can hit fairways and you can also add distance to your game, well, you're going to be that much better. Look at Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler won back-to-back tournaments. His driving accuracy is crazy. His accuracy in general. The only thing that's been holding him back is his putting, and he seems to have figured that out. We'll get to Scottie Scheffler in a second. But when you think about it, and this is something that Tiger Woods even talked about at later stages of his career, was that he was worried less about hitting fairways and more about just getting distance, driving the ball further. So they also, this is Golf Digest, they also interviewed Sean Foley. Sean Foley has been a swing coach for a lot of people, including Tiger Woods. And he said, when he was asked about this analytics from Mark Brody from Columbia University, he said distance is far more of an indicator of success than accuracy. He said that golf still has a long way to go in terms of getting some of this terminology out of their belief system. He said what we believe has been handed down through nostalgia. So he is saying essentially that everyone should be working on getting a better club head speed, getting a better, all these analytics in terms of launch and stuff like that. They should be focusing on getting more distance off the tee, then they should be worried about accuracy and making sure they're a good chipper and putter. Now, just let's make something very clear here. This does not mean that you ignore chipping and putting. This does not mean that you don't have to worry about going out and practicing your short game. Trust me, I would love for that to be factual. It's just not. Because even if you are a good driver of the golf ball, and let's say you bust a drive on a par four, and it's a shorter par four, and you only have about 75 yards into the green. That's great. You did your job, but can you hit the green? And can you hit the green and get it a little bit close to give yourself a realistic birdie putt? And then, of course, people will always say, well, you have to be able to make that birdie putt too. That's really important. It all ties together. So after I read this article, dove in through the numbers a little bit, not going to bore you with all that stuff, I asked myself, what are my thoughts on all this? Do I really believe what this Brody guy is preaching at this sports analytics conference at MIT? Gosh, that would be a miserable conference. Anyways, my thoughts are that I tend to agree. I really do. And the only exception here is if you're not a great putter. I would label myself as not a great putter. I think I'm getting better. I feel like I'm learning more about putting. I used to always think that putting was just kind of a feel thing. Get up there and you get a feel for the greens and maybe you can read the green. And believe it or not, this is what's really crazy, is that I've learned a lot through Instagram, mainly one guy. I forget his name off the top of my head. I should have written it down in my notebook. But he's this older gentleman down in South Carolina, and he posts putting tutorials on his Instagram page, and he talks about the break and how you measure the break and how you should be aiming based on the fall line. I'm learning so much about putting from this guy. Last time I went out and played nine holes, my off the tee game was shot to hell. I was duck hooking the ball like crazy. But when I got on the green, I was putting really well. I was reading things better, seeing those fall lines, those break points that he was talking about. And so I feel like my putting is improving. But to go back to what I was talking about in terms of what's more important, the long game or the short game, I tend to agree that if you're a really good putter, it shouldn't be, the focus shouldn't be like, oh, the short game. It should be getting as close to the hole as you can and then utilizing your short game. If you're a lousy putter, then I think a lot of this is a moot point. You have to really work on that aspect of your game so that you can actually not just hit the ball a long way, but also get it close and then take advantage of getting it close. I think a lot of people that might hear this might say, well, Jeff, this doesn't make any sense to me. You're telling me that you don't care where it goes. All you care about is length. So if I drive the ball 300 yards, but it's in the trees, what the hell good does that do me? Yeah, there are extenuating circumstances here. There are typically on most holes bailout areas where if you're going to miss, you miss it here and you're going to be okay. You still get a shot. And there is something to the fact that you have to have some level of accuracy in the game of golf. Let's not pretend like the only thing that is important is the smash factor of the analytics game and you trying to just muscle the ball as far as you can every single time you get on the tee. Yeah, you want to hit the ball and you want to actually take advantage of your length. But at the same time, you have to remember that the game of golf is about accuracy and controlling where the ball goes. So yes, you can get obsessed with analytics and you can get obsessed with analytics and reports like the ones I just read. And you can say, well, Jeff, this says clearly that I shouldn't care too much about the accuracy of the game. I understand what it's saying. What I'm saying is that I disagree. I'm saying that I disagree if you think that all that matters is just hitting the ball a long way. Golf is a game of direction. Golf is a game of power and precision and finesse. And so I think that one thing, you know, Sean Foley says, golf has a long way to go into changing their thoughts and their approach to the game. Okay, sure, Sean, I appreciate your thoughts, but here's my thing. Everything ties together in the game of golf. Everything ties together in the game of golf. So you can't, in my opinion, say, well, you know, putting is the only thing that's important. Or you can't say the short game is the only thing that's important. Or the antithesis of that, that off the tee in length is the only thing that's important. You cannot say that. Everything in golf is important. Because you could hit the ball 300 yards down the middle of the fairway. If you miss the green, you have a lousy chip, and you two putt, that is a plus par no matter what. Whether it's a bogey, double bogey, it all depends. So for me, I love the fact that people are looking at golf in a little bit of a different light. But at the same time, I think we all need to keep a realistic lens on this. And that's just my thoughts. Take the analytics for what it's worth. I do think paralysis by analysis can happen, especially in an analytical game like the game of golf. Let me know what you think about it. Find me on Instagram, thegolf_life. You can also find me on Twitter at jhartman, HARTMAN_PIT, which is also where on Twitter and X, where I put out my question every week. I forgot last week, actually. Had a jam-packed show with the players and wanted to get a lot of bets out there for that. We'll still get to the bets for the Valspar this weekend. But I put out the question this week to my followers and said, hey, for all the golfers out there who has questions for the Q&A part of my podcast, we had several. Let's go through these now. Let's answer some questions before we get to our gambling aspect of the Fairways and Dreams podcast. Here we go from Zach Farnsworth. He said, good afternoon, Jeff. Thanks for the great content. Have you personally had or have you ever witnessed a too good to be true shot on the golf course? Maybe it was an impossible lie, a difficult angle, or something else. Gotta love the little victories. I can only speak for myself. I mean, I've seen a lot of tremendous golf shots in my time. I mean, you golf a lot. And I don't care if you're playing with your kids or you're playing with friends or you're competitively playing, whether it's high school, college, whatever, you'll see some crazy golf shots. For me, my golf course that I play all the time, the country club I go to and belong to, is riddled with pine trees. And they trim the trees up so that obviously if you're underneath the trees, you do have an escape route. It's not one of those where they're going to punish you to death. I have hit some unbelievable punch draws through the trees, tiny little gaps where I'm like, man, this is just, you just hope for the best. And I hope I don't hit a tree and it comes back and hits me square in the face. And I've pulled off these shots. So there are times where I even surprise myself. And I do think that a lot of times in golf, it's kind of, there's a lot of luck involved too. So yeah, I've had some of those shots for sure. The next one, sell the team, says, why does every American seem to hate LIV Golf and think that their PGA Tour is the non plus ultra, which it is not? So I can only speak for myself. When I talk about the LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, I don't hate LIV Golf. I don't hate the fact that these golfers went there. I'm going to reference my two-man scramble on Tuesday with Ken Keller, who is a golfer trying to get on the PGA Tour. And he's someone that is trying to get his pro card. And he even said himself, if LIV Golf called me and they were offering me a good deal, I'd probably take it. But his goal is to get on the PGA Tour. My issue with people, fans, you label them Americans, that's fine, and LIV Golf, is the fact that everyone now is talking about things like, you'll hear terms like blood money, and you'll hear the Saudi group and how they shouldn't be taking their money. My issue with that is that for every fan that says that, they don't want to look into the National Football League. Where are they getting their money from? Especially the NBA, and where these companies that really pump money into these huge entities like the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, you name it, no one wants to follow that money. No one wants to track that money down. And so that's why, for me, I've always said this from the first time LIV Golf became a thing and started to poach players from the PGA Tour, was please spare me. Spare me the, oh my gosh, look where this money came from, based on the fact that if you follow the trail of money for every single sports league, major corporation, it's going to be traced back to some shoddy stuff. So spare me with that talk. I'm not one of those people. I think the PGA Tour is kind of watered down now, to be honest. I miss those LIV guys. I hope they figure out a deal so that they can actually get everyone back on one tour. I just want to watch good golf. All right, Blue Steel says, do I really need a 3-wood? If you don't use it, you don't need it. My only question is, are you going to need it in your round? Like, do you ever hit 3-wood off the tee? I'll give you an example. I have, there's one hole, maybe even two holes on my country club where I cannot hit driver. I would hit it too far. It's a dog leg left. Therefore, I have to hit 3-wood. So I keep the 3-wood in the bag for those reasons. Also, that par fives, yes, getting a 3-wood so that I can try and get home in two is important. So, or at least getting it as close as I can. So, but if you don't hit the 3-wood well, you would rather hit a 3-hybrid or a 5-hybrid or a 7-wood, whatever club you choose, then you can take it out. Or if maybe you would rather have a 60-degree, let's say you have a 52-degree approach, 56, and you want to add a 60, but you got to take a club out and you don't hit the 3-wood well, take the 3-wood out of the bag. That's all you got to do. All right, let's go. Tendercat asked two to finish this up. He said, what time of day do you prefer to go golfing? And does that determine what you will drink on the course, beer, pop, water? What is your favorite beverage? Let's go back and let's answer these one at a time. My actual favorite time to go golfing is the afternoon. I used to be an early morning guy. My dad is an early morning guy. I think he hates the fact that I like golfing in the afternoon. I don't drink alcohol, so I don't drink beer on the golf course. I don't drink beer at all. No, I was not an alcoholic. It just doesn't vibe with me anymore. So yeah, I just drink water typically on the golf course. With a lot of times it's got some type of salt, stuff like that. So when I'm sweating, I can obviously get that sodium back in my body. My favorite beverage, there you go. For me, nothing is better than a nice cold Coors Light and some early morning dew on the grass. I don't mind golfing in the morning. A downside of golfing early. So my dad back in Wheeling, West Virginia, has a standing tee time every Sunday at 7:30. They are the first group off. It might be 7:26. Who knows? And the course you play in the front nine is completely different than the course you play on the back nine. The dew on the grass early in the morning, the greens are often soft. They're often really receptive. And then you go to the back, they start firming up. They start getting a little bit quicker. I don't like that. In the afternoon, typically the dew is well gone and the course is typically firm, makes it more difficult sometimes, but at least it's consistent. So just something for me. And then Tender Cadell says, do you interlace your pinky finger and index finger when you grip your clubs? That would be called the interlocking grip. And the answer to that is yes. When I was a kid, my dad was teaching us how to golf. He taught us the interlocking grip. That was like the go-to grip. And then shortly after, when we were probably in high school, everyone started going overlap instead of interlocking. I still use the interlocking grip, taught my kids the interlocking grip, just what feels comfortable. And if you, my dad learned the baseball grip. He doesn't interlock any fingers, just the two thumbs down the shaft of the golf club. It's really personal preference, but yes, I do use an interlocking grip. Thank you all for the questions. I do appreciate it. Let's hit some PGA news here before we get to the Valspar Championship this weekend. Valspar. Scottie Scheffler, I mentioned him earlier, back-to-back wins, incredible. I didn't realize this. He's the first ever to win back-to-back players' championships. He won it last year in 2023, wins it again in 2024, does it in, I would say, pretty exciting fashion. His last round, his Sunday round was just amazing. Comes back and he trails for, if you're on social media, if you're on Twitter and you don't follow Shooter McGavin, and I'm pretty sure that the actor that played Shooter McGavin runs that feed. I'm not sure if he does or not, but whoever it is, it's hysterical. And he had a picture of Scottie Scheffler. His grandma was in attendance. And he said, let's see here. Sunday. It's a Sunday. He's trailing by four shots with eight to play or something. Grandma shows up and he wins. I've heard this story before. I thought that was great. But he wins back-to-back, Scottie Scheffler, the Arnold Palmer and the Players. He's playing out of his mind right now. The Masters is on the horizon. We're going to have so much content about the Masters. I'm going to have my buddy Pez on to talk about the upcoming Masters and betting on golf, betting on the Masters. And I love talking gambling with him. He is the guy for gambling. And then also a lot of nostalgia for me and the Masters. That'll be coming up with Scotty. The one thing I'm concerned about is that he has that neck issue now. He had that tape on his neck on the final round. He was able to kind of get through. There's the funny memes that have been going around social media about him being stretched out on the course with his trainer, I guess. I don't know. But nonetheless, Scottie Scheffler wins back-to-back. I hope he takes the time to get healthy for the Masters because I want to see a healthy Scottie Scheffler on wearing his green jacket because he won it 2 years ago and battling Jon Rahm and some of those Liv's guys. I'm really excited for the Masters coming up in just a couple weeks. Let's talk about the Valspar. I liked what I did last week, not to pat myself on the back, where I gave people a long shot winner and then also a favorite. Now, this tournament has some big names in it. You got Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas are going to be playing in this tournament. But here's what I looked at. I looked at these, and sometimes it's just like, okay, I'm not paying attention really to how these players are finishing the week prior. There's a couple like Brian Harman played really well at the Players and he piqued my interest, but I didn't take him. Let's go with my long shot pick first. My long shot pick was Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley is a plus 3,500 to win outright. Again, these bets are ridiculously difficult. So if you hit it, you're going to make some money. My favorite though, and again, there's nothing about this guy's game that has me thinking he's going to turn it on at the right time. No, if anything, it's just there's something about this guy that I feel like he's going to win some point this year. Could this be the round? Could this be the tournament, I should say? And that's Tony Finau, plus 2,500. So I've got Finau as my favorite, and plus 2,500 is pretty good odds. But the bet that I really like, I really, really like this bet. And I'm thinking about playing it. I don't know if I will or not. But so you know that the tournament specials, they allow you to pick like three players, and then with those three players, you can say like, okay, if they all finish in the top 20, you would win the bet. And that's including ties. Keep that in mind. So here's the bet that I really like the most, better than the long shot or favorite. Cam Young, Tony Finau, who obviously I had as my favorite, and Sung Jae Im, all to finish in the top 20, including ties, that's plus 1,300, plus 1,300. If those three guys, and I like the way they're playing, if those three guys finish in the top 20, you win your bet. Plus 1,300, that's really good odds. That's really good odds. I really like that. So there you go for the Valspar. Keegan Bradley is a long shot. Tony Finau is the favorite. And Cam Young, Tony Finau, Sung Jae Im, top 20 finish, plus 1,300. I don't know if you were paying attention, but last week I gave you all the, to hit 17 on all 4 days, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Xander Schauffele. I'm pretty sure they all did that. And that would have, if you could have parlayed that, I'm not sure if the sportsbook would let you parlay that. They might. If you could have parlayed that, you would have won. I think if you would have taken any three of those guys to just hit that bet, you would have won as well. So some of these tournament specials, you can win some money if you don't want the huge payout of picking the all-out favorite. All right, that does it for me. Wow, I had a great show. I love this show. I love talking about these debatable topics of the long game versus the short game. I would love to know what you think. So hit me up on social media. Again, on Instagram, you can find me, thegolf_life. On Twitter at J Hartman, Hartman_PIT. Let me know what you think. What's more important, the long game or the short game? It's a debate for sure. It's for sure a debate. I want to hear from you. In the meantime, with these solo shows, you know how we finished out. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Hit them straight. We'll be back on Tuesday with another two-man scramble. Take it easy. Have a good weekend.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.